On a Sunday evening 20 years ago today, an estimated 100 million Americans gathered in front of their televisions to witness the end of the world. It wasn't real, of course. The event, the day after, was a made-for-TV movie that showed a nuclear attack on a small town in Kansas. NPR's Netta Ulaby grew up in that town and remembers the film being shot on location.
Lucky kids, whose parents let them, got to die in the day after. Smeared in dirt, dressed in rags, they were paid to slowly perish in a fake refugee camp built by the river in downtown Lawrence. ABC Productions offered an extra $75 if you let them shave your head.
Little patches, as if, you know, the radiation sickness was really taking hold and little chunks of hair would be falling out.
Seth Wiley, now a screenwriter in Los Angeles, says making The Day After was like the circus coming to town. Entire families turned out to riot on the streets or collapse in heaps at the hospital. The whole town felt part of something important. Director Nicholas Meyer is still grateful to the citizens of Lawrence when he remembers the apocalyptic makeover he visited on their town.
Oh, it was everything from smashing windows to overturning cars to putting nuclear ash floating down over everything.
The stress of rendering a plausible nuclear wasteland led to frequent black humor on set. Meyer recalls just one example.
Wow, wouldn't it be interesting if there was a nuclear war while we were filming? Imagine the footage that we could get to put in the movie.
Brandon Stoddard was then president of ABC's motion picture division.
It's hard to remember what the tenor of the times was like, how afraid everyone was of war.
In the early 1980s, President Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire. And American fifth grader Samantha Smith asked the Soviet premier why he wanted to conquer the world. 750,000 people marched in support of a nuclear freeze. In this context, screenwriters could easily envision the events leading to global annihilation.
What's going on?
They say the Russians just invaded West Germany.
Will the Russians advance straight for the Rhine and defy NATO's declared policy of defense by all means, including the use of tactical nuclear weapons?
When The Day After first aired, the Federal Emergency Management Agency set up extra phone lines. So did suicide prevention centers. The Day After became one of the biggest media events of the 1980s. Brandon Stoddard.
The volume of writing on The Day After was probably greater than any television show in history.
That's true, says media studies professor Lisa Lynch. She teaches a course on nuclear culture at Catholic University. But, she says, it hasn't held up.
When I taught it, my students found it practically unwatchable. Half of them found it practically unwatchable because they felt it was too 80s. And yet at the time when I saw it, you had the sense of watching the unwatchable.
I think about it and I just think, oh, God, think of what we could have done with the special effects that are available today. Oh, my God, the whole bomb sequence would have been so much better.
Brandon Stoddard describes The Day After as a relic, not just of the Cold War or computerized special effects, but of a moment in broadcasting.
I don't think The Day After could ever be done today, not even remotely.
Today, Stoddard says, major networks are unlikely to dramatize worst-case scenarios of U.S. national policy. At the time, conservative leaders branded the movie propaganda, but Stoddard says he felt the network should shake Americans out of what he called denial.
What are you going to say to each other? And what are you going to say to your government? What are you going to say to your friends? What are you going to say to your family?
Stoddard says making The Day After was a grueling process that probably discouraged others from producing controversial TV films. ABC faced boycotts, denunciations from Washington, fights with its own censors, and vanishing ad revenue.
People went, you know, they went through living hell with that show, and boy, oh boy, I'm not going to do that. I'm not, no way.
Issue movies can backfire in other ways, says Professor Lisa Lynch. These films are intended to stir up involvement, but watching one, whether pro or con, can create a false sense of civic duty.
Everyone's going to look at it and think, people are talking about this. There's a debate going on. This is being taken care of. I'm off with a hook. Whew! So I don't have to get involved.
The Day After's own screenwriter, Ed Hume, thinks that may have happened with his film.
I'm not sure if it ended up having much of an effect at all, because I don't think much really has changed.
There have been some changes over the past 20 years. Proliferation, not escalation, is the current watchword. In 1983, the total number of nuclear weapons was over 50,000. Today, there are fewer, maybe 20,000. No one knows for sure. Nada Ulabi, NPR News.